620 AM, W248DE, Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief, a former Las Vegas area politician accused of killing a reporter who wrote negative stories about him, heard the jury's verdict today.
We, the jury in the above entitled case, find the defendant, Robert Tellis, as follows. Murder with use of a deadly weapon, victim 60 years of age or older. Guilty of first-degree murder with use of a deadly weapon.
Tellis had testified he was innocent. Surgeon General Vivek Murthy says parental stress is a public health issue.
48% of parents say that most days their stress is completely overwhelming. 48%, that's nearly half of parents.
Murthy called on governments, businesses, and community organizations to increase resources for parents. By an overwhelming margin, United Airlines flight attendants have given their union the power to call a strike. Union official that is Ken Diaz.
We want to back down. Over 91% voted. 99.9% yes.
CBS News Brief. I'm Christopher Cruz.
Tune in this week to Seth Faces the Music, where I'll be playing songs about the number 3 for our third anniversary show. Check it out every Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. on WFHR.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. COVID-19 testing levels in Wisconsin are higher now than they've been since February. The surge is happening at the same time as the start of the school year. The Wisconsin Department of Health Services tests wastewater for COVID levels. The biggest spike appears to be happening in northeast Wisconsin. Janesville officials are applying for a federal grant to repurpose the site of the old General Motors plant. Economic Development Director Jim C. Kuborn says it could be a boost to the surrounding neighborhood.
We've got trees growing up in the middle of asphalt and fences falling over. And so go in and create a green opportunity, a green field for new development and new opportunity.
Three public meetings on Janesville's grant application start next month. $20 million is available to cities nationwide. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. A Del Monte worker died after hitting his head on a train track. 43-year-old Tretrevina Lowe of Portage County had been seriously injured after his head hit the rail behind Del Monte. It happened on Friday just before 5 p.m. Authorities were called to the plant and life-saving measures were performed but were unsuccessful. No foul play is suspected. A 40-year-old man from Almond sentenced this week for stealing money from the COVID-19 pandemic relief program. Curtis A. Alleny will spend a year and a day in federal prison for wire fraud and money laundering. In April of 2020, Alleny submitted an economic injury disaster loan application to the Small Business Administration for his business, Curtis A. Alleny, Inc. Alleny received over $149,000 and used the funds to purchase a Cadillac and other personal expenses. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
The Brewers lose in a battle of home runs. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cusco with sports. Milwaukee hit two home runs, but the San Francisco Giants hit three of their own to win 5-4 on Tuesday night, including the go-ahead shot by Mike Yastrzemski.
As Yastrzemski swings, it's a high fly ball deep right. Frelick going back at the track, at the wall. It's gone! And just like that, the Giants go back ahead.
That call courtesy of KNBR. Milwaukee was leading the NL Central by 12 games a week ago, but after losing four of the last six, the Brewers' lead is down to 9 in front of the Chicago Cubs. The second of three games in the series against the Giants is tonight in Milwaukee. The Packers trimmed their roster down to 53 players on Tuesday. Green Bay placed running back A.J. Dillon on injured reserve in one of the moves. The Packers also kept kicker Greg Joseph over Anders Carlson, a sixth-round draft pick last year. For Civic Media Sports, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
I'm Sawyer.
And I'm Shannon.
Together, we're Twin Stunts. Only twin motorcycle freestyle show in the world.
We are born and raised in Wisconsin, so we want all our fellow cheeseheads to know that even though we clutch it up, hit 12, and drift in our show, we would never do it on the open road. And there's another thing we would never do on the road. Drive drunk, drive sober, or get pulled over. Together, we can save lives. Learn more at zeroinwisconsin.gov. Wisconsin DOT.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy, warmer, and a little muggy tonight with lows in the mid-50s. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy and humid, scattered showers and thunderstorms developing in the evening. Some could be strong, highs in the mid-80s. Beautiful weather ahead Friday through Labor Day. Right now it's 73.
Bringing a house of pain.
Backside pressure, down he goes. Inside the 30-yard line.
To a game day near you.
Picked off by Wisconsin, and the Badgers win it.
That's how you create a program. That's how you create a team.
Join us Friday. The Badgers kick off the season against Western Michigan. Our coverage begins at 6 on your home for Wisconsin football. The Badgers Sports Network from Learfield.
Matt Nair on air.
The hour-long rambling from former President Fruit Loops. I think they keep putting him out there as a distraction. What they don't want us talking about is Project 2025.
If you don't think that Trump has anything to do with this, there are 14 hours of videotape starring former staffers of his, and there's no way he didn't know about this, period.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as we will preview Donald Trump being in La Crosse, Wisconsin, and much more. We'll discuss it. Be here.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this Wednesday, August 28th, 2024. I have your host, James J. Maloff, here. In part two today, we're going to speak with our good friends from the ODC. We have Ann, Lisa, and Samantha joining us. Looking forward to that. It's going to be a great conversation. Right now, we have with us in studio, Lance Plimo, Wood County Board Chairman. Lance, good to see you.
Good morning, James. Glad to be here, as always.
Appreciate the time, Lance, and always appreciate our good friends from Wisconsin Rapids Community Media. We say a big shout-out to them and appreciation to them. Do yourself a favor, go to your search bar, type into your YouTube page, Wisconsin Rapids Community Media, and subscribe to the great work that they are doing over there. Lance, what's on your mind today? What do you want to talk about?
Well, we can talk about anything, but first of all, you know, kudos to those guys that film this stuff, because, you know, I get comments all the time that says, why isn't that on? So every time we have the opportunity to get in front of the public, you know, through the service they provide, it's outstanding, and it is greatly appreciated. And people watch, obviously, because I get asked, why wasn't that, or is it, or is it going to be? So anyway, again, thank you very much on that side.
To piggyback on that, we do really encourage people, you and I, all the time when we get together. If you are curious about meetings or board meetings or some of the committees that are going on, you've got a great resource to catch up on these things through Wisconsin Rapids Community Media that cover this stuff and make it so that if you can't be at a meeting or something like that, be sure to go to their page and check out these things that they're recording. So you are always able to keep up to date and be in the know when it comes to your community.
Yeah, I'm surprised how often I get asked.
Yeah. So, I'm sorry, Lance.
So, good job. So, yeah, you know, it's a
compliment to these guys. Yeah. It's kind of Joe Red over here.
You know, it's a fun time of the year. You know, summer's kind of winding down. School's going to be starting here shortly. I'm sorry to say that to all those of you who have to go back to school here shortly.
We apologize.
I was always one of those who was, oh, summer's over. Nonetheless, you know, still a lot going on. And, you know, one of the interesting things is, you know, Wood County has a jewel of a park system. Mm-hmm. We have incredible facilities, and Discover Wisconsin's got a film crew in the county this week, going into next week, filming some of those, you know, attributes that we have, and those will be featured, you know, statewide and some of the other media markets that carry the Discover Wisconsin show. Mm-hmm. And Discover Media Works. So that's fantastic.
Yeah.
And, you know, and one of the things they're doing right now is they're up at Powers Bluff. And those of you who have not had the opportunity to look at what we've done up there with some of the mountain bike trails, some are very difficult, some are very easy. I had somebody who spent a lot of time up there recently. They said it's one of the nicest facilities they've ever been to. And then they said as they came down, somebody said, well, have you tried the trails over here? He said, I didn't even know there were any over there. So I guess my point is it's a large facility. It accommodates those of all ability levels. It's something that was asked for by the community for years, and it's there now. So go take advantage of it.
Mm-hmm.
Our campgrounds are open.
Yeah.
You know, we've had a really good year in that respect, and I certainly encourage our local residents to get out and use those. And when you're out there, you know, you have a chance to mingle with those people who are in from outside the county. And you are our best ambassadors, mm-hmm. you know, as we move forward. Because, you know, we just look at those recreational opportunities as a springboard to business development, to people, you know, in migration and some of those things that happen because of the other things we have, you know, good transportation, good education, obviously recreation, safety, and some of those others. So it's just one of those times of year where we're transitioning. What was it, 95 2 days ago today? I think the high is 70. Hard to kind of wrap your arms around what we're going to have tomorrow. But it's an enjoyable time of the year. We look back a little bit at a very successful summer, but we look forward to, you know, what we have going into the fall, which for us as a county, that's budget season.
Yeah.
And I hate that season. You know, if you said to me, what's your least favorite thing to do? Yeah, it's budget.
It's budget, yeah.
Not a lot of fun. Our finance department, the CPAs out there, man, they're smiling. They love this. You know, it's like audit time, and you see that glow on their face. And I'm going, oh, no, not another audit. But things are going well there. You know, yeah. We look like we're going to be in pretty good shape. You know, before we sat down today, you said, is there anything going on? Jail's coming close to completion. Mm-hmm. You know, we're looking at a completion date on construction near the end of October. Occupancy in that will be roughly January. That's the time you go through all the certifications with all the other, you know, Department of Corrections and all those others that have to certify that for occupancy. But I'm thinking, you know, probably end of October, early November, the sheriff could probably speak to this better, we will probably do some open house type situations where the public can see that. Many of the private groups that otherwise would use some of the facilities there have already toured that, mm-hmm. And seen most of it. But on budget, on time, which is two things you don't always hear together.
Exactly.
Anymore. So other than that, you know, it's the daily, you know, you just keep working forward. You deal with the emergent situation of the day.
Yeah.
And then you go from there.
Lance, you just hit on a million things in 5 minutes.
Yeah, I was trying to get you so confused. You didn't know where to ask me tough questions.
Well done. That's a great technique.
Did we get there?
That's a really good technique. Very smart. No. So I want to go back to a couple of things. And first off, with the park system and with people using the parks. And I love the word that you use there, ambassador, that so many of our citizens are that. I thought about this when Mayor Zacher was in with us last and talking with Matt on off air a little bit about how important it is to him in bringing in new businesses. And we got talking about that and how we really encourage citizens to, you know, be good to people and treating out-of-towners well and some of these things. We got talking about it. And then this was around the time we had the water ski show tournament in town. And him and I were talking about how when we were young, how that was such a weekend where, you know, you battened down the hatches and you just didn't know what was going to go on in their area and some of those things. When I was young, when I first moved here, but how much that changed over the last 10, 15 years or whatever. And now that's something, that's a weekend that you're a little surprised if anything, you know, goes haywire or anything like that. The community has really responded well to these things. When it comes to bringing in new citizens, when it comes to keeping citizens in town, so much of this is important to be able to do that. And those are key factors in order to bring a business into town. There are many franchises that won't come to a town if your population is a certain size, some of those things. So this stuff, not only well-worded, Lance, but I think it's a very good point to bring up and remind people whenever we have a chance, hey, we are ambassadors to other people. If you want people to stay in the community, come to the community, this is an important thing to be able to do.
Yeah, all those positive communications, those touches, really lend to development in the area. And we just had, you know, one of the things I forgot to mention, we just had a bond rating call. You know, Wood County financially is in excellent shape. We use very little of our borrowing capacity, and that's noted by Moody's when we have those calls. And somebody said to me, you know, what large development has occurred in the community recently? And I said, I'm not sure it's a large development, you know, as singularly. But I said, you look at some of the national chains that have decided to, you know, open shop here, you know, whether they, and I don't want to leave anybody out, and I will, but, you know, you just look over, you know, the old Shopko building where, you know, you have Harbor Freight and Five Below and Marshalls and Noodles and, you know, a number of those have come in recently. And that's a commitment to the area. And some of it is based purely on population. I mean, they need to have the number of people, the demographics, to be able to make a business work. But the other part of that is just a community that rallies, pulls behind you, and is conducive to business development, and then a safe place to be. I mean, you can have all the people, the population in the world, but let's face it, in the last couple of years, there were places where, and again, I'm a big mouth, I'll get in trouble, but there are places you would not have wanted to locate in, you know, Minneapolis, in St. Louis, in Baltimore, and other places because of some of the safety issues. And those businesses take that into consideration. You can see that as they've closed large numbers of operations in those places, not only because their patrons don't feel safe, but the employees don't feel safe. So, you know, we need to leverage that. We need to use that to our advantage, and it actually it starts with every one of the individuals out there.
And really, this is something that doesn't take a lot of heavy lifting. You just got to be a good person.
How about like, be nice? Yeah, that, pretty
that's
easy.
That's all you got to do. That's all you got to do. And at the same time, enjoying our parks, enjoying our systems as you can. That goes a long way, a lot farther than I think a lot of us even realize sometimes. You mentioned budget season. Anything big on the docket when it comes to that? You touched on it a little bit, but as far as things that we as citizens, we community members should be looking out for, maybe keeping an eye on the committee or different committees because of? Or...
Yeah, we didn't have anything unusual this year. You know, over the last probably 7 to 10 years, we've worked really hard on upgrading the county highway system, and I think we've done a remarkable job of that. It's a PACER rating, which is how is the way they rate the pavement and the substructure and that stuff, and we've increased that tremendously over the last 7 to 10 years. That's been incredible. We'll finish the jail. You know, that was part of that long-term effort as we looked at finances going forward. There's not a lot of other big issues. Up at our Northwood County Health Annex, which Norwood, for those of you who don't know the newer, longer name, you know, there's always issues when you have buildings that were built in the, you know, 50s, 60s, 70s, where there are mechanical issues you need to deal with. And some of those are multi-million dollar issues. For instance, we have a heating system in the courthouse that needs to be replaced. And you think, well, how expensive can that be? Well, I'll tell you, about $3.5 million. And when you have a building that was built in 1956, and you have the original heating system in there, and it was, you know, steam or hot water, and you need to do conversion because that didn't play well to air conditioning and some of those other things at the time, it's a monumental effort. But we factor that in. We don't see any real big changes. And even with the construction of the jail, you're going to start to see the county mill rate coming down again in the next couple of years is the way this was planned financially. So everything's on target there. I don't expect any major changes. There's not going to be the sky is falling or we've got a problem. I think we're in pretty good shape there.
You just mentioned some pretty big projects, and I'm sitting listening to you thinking about some of the bigger construction projects that happened this summer. Certainly what went on over by Winterfield and the work done by there all the way extending to McMillan. That's a road that, as long as I've lived out here, has probably needed some work. And it's a new day over there, the way that is and the way that's set up. They did an amazing job over there with that work. Big projects like that. I imagine that we're already planning, or our Kyle and some of the team over there are working on big projects coming up. Are there anything that you and the board have your eye on going forward?
Well, right now the county has a few of those county highway projects going on. And I was just kind of chuckling when you said that, because I had somebody the other day say to me, well, great, they finished that project over there, you know, by East Junior High and Grant, right after the rafters season was over. And I want to make clear to them, I go, unlike other states that are in the Sun Belt, there's a construction window in Wisconsin that has to work, you know, with consideration to snow and cold and other things that can't happen. So when you hear people say, you know, everything's under construction at once, that's because we have about a 5 or 6 month window to actually get it done. So if it's going to happen.
Was this person from the Midwest? Has this person
ever
lived
here? Yeah, they were from the Midwest. I think they were just a big baseball fan.
Yeah.
And they probably had to walk a little farther.
I should mention really quick, John Fonten, the GM for the Rafters, was actually here the other day dropping off some equipment, and we got a chance to talk and everything. And I did kind of pick his brain a little bit, like, hey, how did it go this summer and everything? They're fine. They were completely fine. Their attendance was fantastic. They did really well over there. They actually talked quite highly of the construction workers and working alongside with them, and the way the community was so interacting with the Rafters and talking with them and working with them on this project, on this situation. And the way he was putting it was, we got to put up with it for one summer, and we get like 20 summers of great road.
Yeah. Well, the irony of this, and it always drives me crazy. I just laugh about it. It's usually the person who's telling me they had to walk 2 extra blocks is telling me, like, at the health club on the treadmill or the elliptical. Or it's the person who's out at lunch walking around the block, and I'm going, you could have just walked the extra 2 blocks to the event. It wasn't that far. But it's always ironic in that respect. But, you know, the road projects have been huge. You know, some of the parks projects, obviously, from a county standpoint are great. And then, you know, the other one, you know, that I want to give really kudos to, and again, it's interoperation and that interoperability. You know, we had a situation about a week ago, week and a half ago in town with a police chase. it ended up, you know, in Wisconsin Rapids. But, you know, we had, I don't know, four or five departments involved. The safety of the community was at, you know, the forefront of their decisions all the way around. And the job that they did in keeping the community safe is amazing. But that goes to where I say, you know, we're the county. I always kid all my town, village, city friends. And I say, you know, some of you live in a town, some live in a village, some live in the city, but all you live in a county. But at the end of the day, that's my little jab at them when we're talking. But at the end of the day, we all work together to provide a better environment for those people who live in the county. And the cooperation through that process was incredible. And although, you know, outcomes are different than sometimes you'd like to have, the community was kept safe, and it was kept safe because of that communication. So sometimes when we're, you know, you're spending money, you say, why does a sheriff's department or why does any department need a particular piece of equipment? There's typically a reason. We just don't say, oh, we want to buy a drone just because we think it would be cool to fly it. there are reasons we need things like that, and when that opportunity or when that situation arises, you better have it at your fingertips. Yeah. So those are all budget considerations every year. Some are big, some are smaller, but at the end of the day, it still has to all fit into that that puzzle, because we can't print money like the federal government.
The catch of some of these things too, especially when it comes to different things on our police force or that, these are items that are similar to insurance or a break glass in case of needed. You hope you don't need them, but you darn sure want your community to have them if need be. So some of that stuff, I think that there can be a pushback sometimes on these things when we don't take the time to understand why we have these things. I don't think anybody is going around saying, you know what, we need more tanks. We don't have enough tanks here in Rapids. They're not necessarily saying that, but why do we need a tank? Or why do we need a bulletproof vest? Why do we need an extra canine unit? Some of those things. If you ask those questions, you get the answers, you find out a little bit more. Not enough people seem to, and a lot of people like to bark and ask the question, but don't take the time to find out the answers of where these things and what the necessity of them.
Yeah, as I have had opportunity over the years to sit down with some of the national security agencies or the FBI people at some of the national conferences, they always say, you think you're prepared for that emergency or that situation until it actually happens. And then you realize how unprepared you are. And so what we do is, you know, we try to be, in effect, if you want to call it, over-prepared. Mm-hmm. There will always be a breaking point and a point at which we didn't perceive that to be a problem or we didn't anticipate, but we do our best to eliminate those situations, those opportunities. That's why we do training. But all those things cost dollars. And, you know, most of the time people go, why did you spend that until you had a positive result with your family? Mm. You know, why did I need an ambulance that fast? Why did I need a police officer at my house within 2 minutes? Geez, the fire department got here in a hurry. You know, at one time somebody asked me years and years ago, and again, this is more of a city issue, but they said, you know, why do you have a fire department on each side of town? Well, there's a railroad track in the middle is a really good reason, and we don't have a lot of control over when those go through. But those are the kind of situations you just don't think of if you're maybe just the general person out there, you know, in the community saying, why are they spending money on that? Or there's duplication. There's typically a reason. Those get debated, and sometimes heatedly, as to why we need it and where we're going to spend it. But, you know, we have levy limits and control on the amount of spend we have. You know, 80% of our budget is dictated by state and federal mandates. There's a very small percentage of that that's, you know, for us to use locally on local projects or those things that we need. And those get debated at length. You know, how do we best spend the money?
Are there anything on the debate table right now that you guys are going over that is, whether it's a hot testing subject or not, is here or there, anything that you guys are looking at is this is something we need to, this is one of our needs, our focus right now?
You know, there's nothing real pressing like that, but, you know, that's, you know, kudos to our committee. You know, I have the opportunity to travel around the state, go to other county board meetings. We have a county board where every member doesn't agree on every issue. But most of the issues are hashed out at the committee meetings where the committee chairs and the committees allow input from both the public, their committee members, and certainly other county board members. So when you see issues come to our county board, and most of those, almost without exception, pass, you know, 19-0, 18-1, there's a reason for that. And so, you know, I think there's a little bit of, if you want to call it cooperation, there's certainly compromise. And we don't end up in the weeds as some county boards do because it's thoroughly discussed before it gets there. And rarely does it get there with a lot of contentious issues, typically resolved ahead of time. And right now, if you said to me on the horizon, what do I see as a big issue out there from a dollar standpoint? There really isn't one. You know, we deal with, you know, wages are always a huge issue because retention is typically more economically beneficial to the county than recruitment. Recruitment's expensive. You hate to see people jump for similar jobs in an adjoining county or municipality, you know, because of the wage. So you go, you know, how do we put a package together to keep those most experienced employees with us, provide the best service?
It's recruiting 101. You know, Coach Fickell over in Madison right now, he's trying to get Florida kids, he's trying to get California kids, but he is not losing Wisconsin kids. You have to have that pipeline. If you can't bring in your own kids, other kids in other states see this, and the way it bleeds into the issue, it's a very similar thing. And it's something that we, again, as a citizens, as community members, can be a part of and help out with as well by being good citizens, bringing it full circle here right back to the beginning of the interview, Lance.
Yeah, James, our Economic Development Committee, just to mention, met several times. They had about $317,000 recently to distribute throughout the community for projects that they thought would benefit not only the county, but in some cases the community directly. And they really did their due diligence. They did an excellent job, but every one of those dollars is allocated in hopes that it will, you know, benefit the community as a whole. And, you know, I represent part of the town of Grand Rapids and part of the city. I've represented those areas for years, and I couldn't tell you exactly where that line is. You know, it's not a straight line. It, you know, it zigzags block to block. But although there's jurisdictions in which we operate, we really operate as a community. You know, and so the lines become blurred. You know, what's good for Wisconsin Rapids is typically good for Grand Rapids and Nakusa and Buren and the county. So, you know, you try to work with those leaders, with their boards and the community, just to have a better place for everybody to live.
Yeah. Speaking with Lance Plimo, Wood County Board Chairman, and we do want to remind everybody, of course, Labor Day coming up right around the corner. The courthouse will be closed on Labor Day. Remind everybody about that. And certainly want to make sure that you know about all these committees coming up. You can find out about that by going to woodcountywi.gov. Keep up to date on all the different meetings and committees that are going on. Maybe be a part of them. We encourage you to reach out and be a part of these boards, a part of these committees. Get involved, everybody.
Yeah, I encourage you to go to the website because there's links to everything. And sometimes I'm amazed. I go there and I go, you know, I'll call our county clerk, who, Trent, if you're listening, is one, you know, one of the best in the state.
Yes,
but,
yes.
You know, I get out there and I'll go, can we get this? And he goes, it's already there.
Yeah.
Good. Maybe I should look at the website.
Right, right. Trent's awesome. Yeah, shout out to Trent. Shout out to you, Lance. Great show today. Thanks for the time.
Thanks, James.
If people want to find out more, maybe have some follow-up questions for you or anything, send them to the website or want
to
give your
send
number.
Send them to the website or send them to me. My name, address, phone number, all that is in our directory.
Again, that website, woodcountywi.gov. And we say a big thank you to our friends over at Wisconsin Rapids Community Media. Keep up the great work, you guys. Go to your YouTube search bar, type in Wisconsin Rapids Community Media, and keep up to date on the things they are doing. We'll be back with more right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, locally grown radio.
November 21st, 2021, the Waukesha Christmas Parade attack, a holiday celebration turned deadly. Daryl Brooks drove his SUV into the Waukesha crowd, targeting as many people as possible. Brooks injured dozens and killed six, including an eight-year-old child. It never should have happened. Just days earlier, Brooks was arrested for trying to run over his girlfriend, but he was released on just $1,000 bail. Senator Tammy Baldwin voted against increased funding for pretrial detention of violent criminals like Daryl Brooks, making it easier for these criminals to terrorize our communities. Call Senator Baldwin, 608-264-5338. Urge her to support S-3919, the Keep Violent Criminals Off Our Streets Act. Because violent criminals belong behind bars. Paid for by One Nation, www.onenationamerica.org.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Matt Nair on air.
Join our advertising family on WFHR and WIRI and see how radio can help improve awareness, revenue, and staffing for your business. I'm Ashley, and it's my mission to help our area businesses thrive. Call me today, 715-496-0710.
Hey, everybody. Glad you could join us. I'm Tim Hubbelt, better known as the Polka Guy, on the Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show.
Join Tim every Saturday and Sunday for a great variety of polkas, waltzes, and more. Wake up at 7 a.m. on Saturday morning to get the weekend started on the right foot, then enjoy a lively Sunday afternoon at 1 p.m. Same great show, two different times, one fun weekend. The Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show, 7 a.m. Saturdays and 1 p.m. Sundays, only on WFHR, locally grown radio.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A soldier from Wisconsin who crossed the border from South to North Korea is expected to reach a plea deal in his Army court-martial. Private Travis King of Racine will reportedly plead guilty to 5 of 14 charges. King crossed into North Korea last year after he was released from a jail in South Korea. Enrollment is down in Wisconsin's public schools, but education leaders point out that costs per student actually go up when that happens. Luther Olson is the statewide network liaison for the CESA Education Agency.
We fund on a per capita basis, but in reality, that cost goes up. So everybody says, well, you know, you have less kids, you don't need as much money. But unfortunately, that's not quite the case.
Olson speaking with Wisconsin Eye. Work on the next state budget begins next spring. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. The fire on 21st Avenue in Wisconsin Rapids could have been started by someone welding earlier in the day on Monday. The Wisconsin Rapids Fire Department responded to an active water flow alarm at the Industrial Cold Storage Facility building a little after 5 on Monday. Firefighters found heavy smoke and evidence of an active fire that was extinguished by the activation of 4 sprinkler heads. No one was in the building at the time of the fire. Officials are investigating. Damages estimated at $25,000. It's a lot cooler today, but the hot weather the past few days can drive bugs to seek shelter inside. Pest control experts say that when it's hot, ants, wasps, bees, and more try to sneak inside. So be sure to keep food and drink containers closed, keep the house and patio areas clean, and check the exterior of your home for any developing problems. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Apparently, Steve Martin, Martin Short, Selena Gomez, and Meryl Streep do not provide enough star power for Only Murders in the Building. Molly Shannon will join the cast as a high-powered Hollywood producer. One of the show's high-profile stars will have a very short run on the upcoming season. It is called Only Murders in the Building. Season 4 of Only Murders in the Building premiered on Hulu August 27th. Hollywood is getting down and dirty politically. West Wing star and Get Out actor Bradley Whitford took a swipe at Cheryl Hines on social media. Hines is married to Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who just dropped out of the presidential race and threw his support to Donald Trump. Whitford, a native Wisconsinite, took to X and criticized Hines for staying silent in light of her husband's endorsement and called RFK Jr. a lunatic. Hines remained vague about who she endorses for president and tried to remain diplomatic. Does anyone else smell a crazy sitcom about an incorrigible couple that just can't see eye to eye on anything? Dear God, please not another one. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy, warmer, and a little muggy tonight with lows in the mid-50s. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy and humid, scattered showers and thunderstorms developing in the evening. Some could be strong, highs in the mid-80s. Beautiful weather ahead Friday through Labor Day. It's 71 right now.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. From fighting wildfires with air support, helping civilians in flooded neighborhoods, to delivering food and supplies to those who have lost everything, the Army National Guard always responds when disaster strikes. The Army National Guard also trains to be ever vigilant against threats, foreign and domestic. They protect our skies with missile defense weaponry. They secure our information, communications, and infrastructure with cybersecurity. And they protect us against chemical, biological, and radiological hazards with the civilian support team. The Army National Guard also stands ready to deploy and provide support for conflicts or humanitarian missions abroad. Join the Army National Guard and be there to respond, protect, and support your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Maggie Dawn.
Next up, I'll talk about Jack Smith's new superseding indictment against Donald Trump, and Dan Schaefer of the Recombobulation Area joins us. He's now with Civic.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
Welcome, everyone, to Midday Magazine for this Wednesday, August 28th, 2024. I have your host, James J. Mayloff, here, and I am joined right now by some of our favorite people. We have the ODC with us right now, Opportunity Development Center, right here in Wisconsin Rapids. We have with us Lisa Rouse, PR and Development Fund Manager. Lisa, good to see you, as always.
Thanks, you too.
Thanks for being here. And we have Sammy Sinzinski with us as well. She is the Community Life Developer over at the ODC. Sammy, thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Always appreciate the time from our ODC. A big shout out to some of the most vital work being done in our community by you guys and your team over there. Appreciate you. And Sammy, if you don't mind, I want to rewind. Lisa, I want to rewind for a second here because I wanted to talk about Run, Walk, and Roll and how that went.
Yeah, so our fifth annual but first community-wide event went off this last weekend, this last Saturday on August 24th. Beautiful weather and a really great event. We so appreciate everybody that came out to support us that day. It was a wonderful, wonderful day to see everybody in the community come together for ODC.
Yeah, and a good turnout. And with some of the new additions to this year, how did those go over?
Yeah, so completely different Run, Walk, Rock and Roll this year, where we came together. Instead of doing walks in separate communities, we all came together at Rooted in Red. The walk took place from 3 until 4 around the cranberry marshes, and kudos to those who went out and walked because it was hot. There's no shade on a cranberry marsh. So, a little bit different as far as how the rock was done, how the walk was done. Those that rolled got to go out on some graded paths, and they had wagon rides all through the cranberry marshes as well.
Yeah, I was telling Lisa that I talked to some community members about it because I wanted to live vicariously through them. Yeah. I was not able to be there this year. And I heard such good responses from people, especially a couple that I met that have tried to attend every year. Mm-hmm. And they really enjoy the event. They really appreciate what the ODC does and want to support it. While they were really impressed with this year. That was the word that both of them used. We were impressed this year. And they really felt like you guys really hit it on the head. You really did a great job with this event this year.
Oh my goodness, it's so good to hear that, because we really wanted to make it a community event where everybody could come out with their families and then enjoy a day with music at the cranberry marshes. We had everything from liquor pulls to basket raffles to a 50-50 raffle. So we were able to raise some money there at the event with those things. And I really have to give a shout out to a few people. So our big major sponsors, Felker Brothers out of Marshfield, Nasonville Dairy out of Marshfield. We had Paper City Savings Bank, and then iCare Inclusa. And then, of course, we could not have done this event without Rooted in Red. What an amazing place, amazing venue, and incredible people. And then our food trucks that came, and then, of course, our music, the Antoinettes and Southbound. Mm-hmm.
Amazing bands and amazing people out there. Buy local, support local, support those that support this community, everybody. A big shout out to all those groups, especially Rude and Red. Really good people over there.
Awesome, awesome people.
And Lisa, you know better than most of us how important these events are for the ODC, as not just PR, but a development fund manager. Mm-hmm. You know how every penny counts and every penny helps the ODC do that great work that they're doing in this community.
It does. We could not do what we do without the community and these fundraising events.
I imagine as you've wrapped up the event and everything, I don't mean to put more on your plate, but are you guys working on next year's already?
I know
that happens pretty quick.
Yeah, we're going to plan again for next year. We're looking at a save the date of August 23rd out at Rooted in Red. And hopefully now that people kind of get it, because we totally switch gears on this event, now that they understand what it is, we're hoping to just grow it from there.
So good to hear. And we encourage people, if you would like to be a part of that event next year, be a sponsor for that event, it's never too early to reach out. And we'll give you Lisa's information before we wrap up today. But I do want to encourage you to check out the website, bookmark the website, odcinc.com, and be sure to follow them on social media. Lisa, thank you for that. Was
thank
there anything
so
else
much.
You wanted to touch on?
on? Or,
no, that
oh,
we was got it. It? Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Thanks.
Sammy, we have Sammy with us here, and she is the community life developer over at the ODC. And I'm going to kind of switch gears ourselves now a little bit, because one of the things that we wanted to talk about today to really be able to highlight was how there is, there's isolation and loneliness in America, and it has become an epidemic, Sammy.
Yeah, all over America, and especially in Wisconsin as well.
And this is something that our state is putting dollars into. We're addressing this.
Yeah, when you were introducing the segment and talking about all the things that ODC does, we just keep growing and we just keep doing more things. And at a staff meeting yesterday, our president, Julie Strenn, just says, I am blessed to do this work and to support all of the things we do in the community. And she talks about how it's not just her, it's the people that are doing the work every day, and we continue to grow these amazing programs, and our state has given us the money to continue to grow even more to address isolation and loneliness, and it's truly amazing that we get paid to do this work, right?
Yeah.
It's a job that we get to do, and we get to do it every day, and we have a bunch of initiatives that we're putting together through this grant.
Let's dive into that and get into how the ODC is addressing isolation and loneliness through this grant.
Yeah, the big part is creating a coalition, right? You can't do this work alone. The ODC does so many wonderful things, but through this grant, we get to build another coalition of community partners. And you're going to hear the word community a lot as we talk about all of the things we're doing, but that's what we do. It's all about community. So our coalition has other organizations that support people with disabilities across central Wisconsin, and we meet monthly to talk about all of the initiatives that we are going to put through this grant, and we are doing it in partnership with these other organizations, and they are supporting us, whether it's just talking about things, sharing about things, or diving in and doing the work with us. And we have four big areas that we're focusing on.
We can get into those areas in a moment, but I think the coalition idea is one of the great first steps when it comes to any project like this or any giant big task when it comes to things. The smartest people I've ever known always seem to understand that they don't know everything. And many, many minds bring different ideas, different angles on things. So while a coalition is a phrase and a term that we know and maybe some people just kind of hear and it goes in one ear out the other, this is a really vital thing and a really great thing for our community.
Yeah, and, you know, we're starting it now. We're building it piece by piece, inviting people, and we're still looking if anybody else cares about this topic of isolation and loneliness, they're welcome to join us in the work that we do as well.
So, Sammy, you mentioned those initiatives, the four main initiatives. What were those?
First one is awareness building, right? I think most people know what it feels like to feel lonely, but there's different types of lonely, right? There's like that feeling of loneliness, and then there's like being alone, and those are different things, but they can cross sectors. And to talk about how loneliness is an epidemic in our country, it's not just something that one person feels, it's something that everybody feels, and we need to intentionally build community to bring people together. So we're building awareness not only of the ideas of isolation and loneliness and how to address those, but we're also using our campaign to show all of the things that we continue to do at ODC that directly impact isolation and loneliness.
I think that's a really good point to bring up, especially, you know, whether it's loneliness or I think of this sometimes with depression when I talk to people that aren't used to being dealing with being sad and they don't even know the emotion they're feeling right now or they're experiencing. And oftentimes we think of depression. Well, depression means this or depression looks like this. And then when we experience it, we realize, oh, no, it's something actually very different than it is in movies or what we think it is. It's never a bad idea to be able to note these things. I do want to let you know, Sammy, I am potting you down in and out just so that we can make sure that the audio is clear for people out there. But I do appreciate you being able to join us.
Thank you.
Another thing that you are working on there is sort of what we've touched on already a little bit, building an awareness campaign.
Yeah, it's going to highlight facts through research and study that show what percentage of people feel isolation and loneliness. And we look at different areas of people. We look at ages, we look at abilities, we look at generation and area. There's so many ways to look at the data on this, but it all points back to how do we get people to feel less lonely, and we have some ideas at the ODC on how to do that.
I'm looking forward to getting into that with you. Whether it is the community connections, or that is another way of working with the community and reaching out to the community when it comes to this subject.
Gosh, yeah, what a cool program. We do so many amazing things at the ODC to support people in their work and their life goals, but community connection is just growing this one step further and making it even more individualized. So we support any adult with a disability to do whatever it is that they want. So they meet with a community connector and they get to know one another, and then they go out into the community. It's a supported role where people can go try clubs, right? There's like knitting clubs or card clubs, or you can go to a church and get reconnected with your faith. You can learn to volunteer at different places. There's so many ways to get connected that is so specific to the individual.
This is the one of the ones that I really wanted to highlight and just take a moment with, if you don't mind, Sammy, because many of the audience know is familiar with the ODC, understands the ODC, and certainly even understands some of the things we're talking about here. I think that I immediately started thinking of Pam Ross, when she would come to help my family when I was a kid, and how Pam was so she was so specific about. My aunt Patty, who she was helping, her situation was unique, and she was a unique person. So her approach had to be hands on, had to be unique. The client, the people over at the ODC, you guys over there, you understand better than most how there is no umbrella approach to any of these things. That you need to really get to know the person, need to get to know your clients to be able to find out what best techniques or best ways to work with them. So when it comes to a topic as big as isolation or loneliness and how that affects each one of us differently, you guys are uniquely, I think, positioned to be able to help people with these things, and not only identifying them, but reaching out and bringing people that may not always speak up when they're feeling these things, maybe reach out to them a little bit more and give them a bridge to hopefully take care of those things.
Yeah, it's the connection piece, and part of that but process is asset-based community developing. That's ABCD. That's backed, researched, and tried and true. And what that does is we look at the gifts of people, right? Sometimes people just go to the negative right away. Well, what do you need? What don't you have? And this is like, what do you have? What lovely gifts do you have? And how can we bring that forth for you and into the community? And I really appreciate that about the approach.
We are speaking with Sammy and Lisa from the ODC. And Sammy, another thing that you guys are focusing on, something that I've been very adamant about in this area for a long time, and how we are better together. We are stronger together. When our communities, we all have people and friends that live in a different town but work here or something like that. While there are county lines in some of these things, they really bleed into each other. And I think that the smartest nonprofits that I'm seeing in this area realize we're stronger together when we work with other communities, and that's something you guys are doing with this as well.
Yeah, we're expanding the Better Together program, which started in the Stevens Point area in the 80s and 90s, known as Community Partners, and it has grown and has been successful and even more integrated in the community here, that now is the time with this grant and with the focus on isolation and loneliness that we expand our program to Rapids and Marshfield.
Yeah, and how is kind of similar to the kind of think tank, if you will, or having a coalition, you're bringing in different personalities, different minds, and people that not only see things differently but are experiencing things differently. So again, when you're talking about these big topics that have very many different layers to them, you're bringing in that along with you know, I was just in Marshfield for the Central Wisconsin State Fair a little while ago. I hadn't been to Marshfield in a while. Things they're dealing with over there are going to be different than things we're dealing with here. So while we have so many similarities and our communities bleed into each other, it's nice to be able to sometimes have that perspective and be able to, well, I'm dealing with this, but they are dealing with this over there. It could be worse, or we can learn from this and make our area better. All those different factors.
Yeah, and what is so universal across our communities in central Wisconsin, across our nation, and globally is the idea of friendship. Your life is better when you have a friend, and even if it's just one friend who you know you can call, you can talk to and say, how was your day? Something so simple is so life-changing, and it doesn't take a big effort to be a friend, and that's what Better Together is. It's a friendship program, similarly based on the model of Big Brothers Big Sisters, where we match adults with disabilities to people in the community to be friends. And all of the people that I've matched, it's not just life-changing for the adult with a disability, it's life-changing for the person who steps into this program and is like, yeah, I can be a friend. One of our volunteers had said to me at the end of the year last year in our end of the year survey and report, she said, this has been the best thing for my life. She said, I've actually been struggling personally, and knowing now that I have this one friend who wants nothing for me than my friendship is incredible. She said, you know, I never realized I can make a difference just by being myself. And I don't know what's more beautiful than that. Like,
yeah.
We're not asking anything of you in this program other than to show up uniquely as yourself and be a friend. And that looks different for everybody, but I think we understand what friendship is and how that feels.
Well, that one hit me. Thank you for sharing that, Sammy. That is a good one. That's very good to hear. And speaking of those community friends, where the ODC is looking to help you make more friends and have more community events, monthly events, be on the lookout for those and ways that you can get out of the house a little bit more and maybe do some more things, especially as we're getting closer and closer to the winter months where we all live in shacks. We go outside so little.
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead, Sammy. Sorry.
I was just going to say, we are expanding this idea of community friends to Rapids and Marshfield as well. It's a once-a-month get-together for the people who are paired in Better Together, but also we're expanding it to the community because we don't have a ton of friendships yet in Marshfield and Rapids because it's brand new there, to invite the community to do something inclusive. And we're looking for businesses that want to sponsor or host us to have some fun.
An adapted recreation. It sounds a little similar to some of the other things we were talking about today.
Yeah, it's so amazing. We just said again at the beginning of this, like, ODC, we just keep doing more things, and adaptive rec is one of the things we're adding to the plate. We've seen in some communities how they do it well, and so that's what we're trying to learn from. We're also trying to see, like, where are the gaps? How else can we better support people to meet their needs? And then how do we do this? Who do we partner with? Where do we do the events, and what are the events? And so we started with a survey asking people in the community, adults with disabilities and people in the community that support them as well. Like, what do you want to see? What do you want to do? And there's an overwhelming response of, we just want more. We want more opportunity. We want more chances to do more things. And I think having that idea of, like, this is inclusive and calling that out makes those people feel welcome, invited, and important.
Mm-hmm. Well said. Sammy, we have talked about the subject and the ways the ODC is approaching this and what they're working to do to help our community with it. But what about our community? What can the community do to help?
So many things. First of all, the easiest thing is just to follow ODC Inc. on Facebook and Instagram, right? You'll be able to see all of the wonderful things we do. And we're going to do some call outs like, hey, get involved with us. And that's the easiest thing to do while you're scrolling. Add some inclusion in your day.
It's a good one. That's always a good note. There's other ways that you can impact your community and also be a good help yourself as well.
Yeah. So if you're an individual and you want to get involved, you can reach out to ODC and learn about the Better Together program and how you can be a friend to someone. And again, this friendship isn't something that you have to do. It's not like a regular volunteer opportunity, like at 2 o'clock on Tuesdays, I have to do this. It becomes a friendship. It's someone you get to do something with, and it meets around your unique schedule. So you get together about twice a month is the ask. Some friends do more, and some friends do a little bit less with travel and sickness. But getting together, whether that's going for an ice cream, going bowling, watching a movie, having your friend over to bake cookies, really, it's the simple things in life. So it doesn't have to be a big grand experience. It's just doing life together. So volunteer to be a friend. Another thing you could do if you are a business or an organization in the community, you can offer to sponsor an event for us or offer to host an event to bring some inclusion to your organization. And you can even have some of your staff volunteer at the event. If you do staff volunteer hours, that would be a great way to use them.
Sammy, I apologize. After you said cookies, I heard nothing else. No, I'm just kidding. Those are great ideas. Those are really good ideas and great things. And I do want to say also, even if you are not dealing with loneliness or isolation, these are great ideas, great activities, including if you are a business out there sponsoring and being a part of things at the ODC. There are very few things, as Lisa and I could tell you, that are going to help PR-wise more than being a part of the ODC. There is no downside to that. You only look good and look like you're supporting your community. And if you can sponsor a community friend event or something that the ODC is doing in these regards, you may be helping out not only your business, but your coworkers, your employees, they may benefit from something like this. This is one of those subjects where you don't have to wait to be lonely or feel isolated to be a part of this. You can jump on this now. You don't have to wait for that to be a part of these events that the ODC is doing.
Right. You know, it's going to be 2025 soon, and the best way to get connected is still word of mouth. It's still face-to-face, person-to-person. We do have social media. We can do flyers and newspapers, but talking about it with one another is the best way to learn more and get connected.
We have really enjoyed talking with you, Sammy. And again, thank you for doing double duty, because it sounds like you're pretty busy over there, too.
Full-time mama, right?
Yep. You rock. Thank you for that. Sammy, if people have follow-up questions, want to know more about what we talked about, how can they reach you?
They can reach me at 715-347-7461 or at my email, which is sszynskie@odcinc.com.
Appreciate you and the time, Sammy. Have a great day.
Thank you so much. You too.
And Lisa, if people have follow-up questions for you, would like to know more, how can they get in touch with you?
You can reach me at 715-818-6463 is my direct line, and LRouse@odcinc.com.
Lisa, thank you for the time. Always good talking with you.
You as well.
Say hi to the team over there for
us. I will.
And you can find out more about that team and plenty of other great things at the ODC at odcinc.com. That's odcinc.com. Be sure to follow them on social media. Look for Mail Queen Market and Ink Splash and follow their pages as well. Keep up to date on the vital and great work they are doing over there. We will be back with more Midday Magazine right here in 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, locally grown radio.
It's summertime in Wisconsin, and whatever the weather, it will impact you and your plans.
Should I water the garden? Will our event be rained out? Count on your local Civic Media radio station for in-depth details and the most up-to-date forecast.
Temperatures are rising into the mid and upper 70s under sunny skies.
It's your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
There's danger out there. It lurks on highways and quiet neighborhood streets. It's more likely to kill you than a shark, and more terrifying than the biggest snake. Distracted driving claims lives every day. Every notification, swipe, social post, video, or selfie while driving risks your life. So while you might think public speaking or the zombie apocalypse is scary, what's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward, don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for the Todd Allball Show.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Fancy Brian Kelly is my guest co-host for the first hour, and then we're joined by Paul Noonan talking sports, weather, and wine with meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10. The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Co-founder of the Lincoln Project, Rick Wilson.
Trump is now pre-gaming for Republican elections boards at the county and state levels across this country to try to put their thumb on the scale for Trump. And if they don't win on that front, they may resort to violence again, which is why at the Lincoln Project, our goal is not to beat Trump. Our goal is to beat Trump like a rented mule. Our goal is to beat Trump so bad that his bruises have bruises.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app. Matt Nair on air.
You know, Greg Buck, I think it is time I need a little time away.
Jane, are you going on vacation?
Yes, I am going on vacation. I feel confident. You're going to do a great job. You got Calvin.
Wait, I'm hosting?
Yes, dear, you're going to be hosting.
I thought you were taking me with you. Okay, I guess I will host the show in your stead. Thank you very much.
I trust you.
Matt and Air on Air, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
CBS News Brief. Vice President Kamala Harris and her running mate, Governor Tim Walz, have a